Well, if there's a way of introducing the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, that is it. That was Dermot McLaughlin's cousin. I believe his name was Ollie. A very warm welcome to From the Horse's Mouth podcast. That was him cheering home Freewheeling Dylan Easter Monday. Wow, Ruby Walsh, Frank Kick here with me once again to talk about the Ain't Your Grand National. But we'll do well to beat scenes like that, won't we, lads?
Yeah, I think we will. It's brilliant. That's emotion, isn't it? It's excitement, the emotion to be that, to be wanting that something that much for your cousin.
For once in his effing life, to watch something.
Yeah. it was magic, isn't it? It is magic.
Ah, superb. That was that, by the way, for those who obviously only heard that, that's Kira Riley at Kira Riley 99 has tweeted that. She's obviously related to Dermot's cousin Ollie. It's all over Twitter. It's brilliant. It's wonderful.
It's
fantastic.
When you look at the weekend we had, you had the lads out in Dubai watching Sky Ace win the Grade One as well. And I think I retweeted that video. That was unbelievable as well. And you're just seeing, look, it's becoming more uncommon, but it just goes to show the smaller lads can do it. And when it happens, it's amazing.
It was brilliant. I had to, I know this is the Ain't Your Grand National Festival focus, but I couldn't let that go. A very warm welcome to everyone. And I do stress the word warm. We're recording as it's snowing outside where I am. It's unbelievable. It's snowing where I am. Yes, it is April the 6th, not April Fool's Day. It's time to talk the Ain't Your Grand National, but none other than Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey. Right, we've moved on from Easter Monday in the Irish National. Just 150-1 winner that neither of you found, lads, for God's sake.
I did tip him up at Durham McLaughlin Horse.
That's anyway. So did I.
Oh.
So did I tip. They're at the start. I was on RT and they're looking for an outsider. I was thinking, I rode Vic.
Vic's Canvas?
Canvas for him. Yeah, I was second on him in the Whipred. And I think he's a shrewd enough fella. I think he's a very shrewd customer. And I was just thinking, wouldn't surprise me if one of Red McLaughlin's ran well. And I did the same as Frank Kiki. I went for opposite to track. And I could just as easily as that Freewheeling Dylan.
Ah, well, no one found it. Well, actually, funnily enough, I think I got sent 4 or 5 pictures of people who had a couple of quid each way. Surely it was a great result for the company, Frank, was it?
It actually wasn't, would you believe?
Really?
I don't know why. I wasn't working yesterday, so I had a quick look and I was like, that's strange, but it wasn't. I thought this was going to be an absolute beano, but no, it wasn't at all.
The name?
Is there any way he'd have been 150-1 if there had been punters on course? I mean, he would have had a huge local following that would surely have retracted that price if there was on course bookmakers, wouldn't it?
Or potentially if they're playing the ring, but I suppose you're looking at it and now you've got just the SP is formulated a bit differently and you've got the exchange as well, pull it out and it's a bit different. But look, for those people who backed, I saw the owner, there was a piece in the Racing Post about the owner backing it at 66-1 and then it went 100-1 and she backed it again. And then it went 150-1 and she backed it again. And look, fair play to her. You don't have to have a lot on to get a nice few quid out of that, do you? At that sort of a price.
Nah.
Well, there's the prize money. It's magic. I hope it just gives people the encouragement. And obviously, it does need to be syndicates more so than people going on their own. Because even if you buy Sky Ace for the song she was bought for 600 quid, it's still somewhere between 30 and 40 quid a day to keep her after that before entry fees and travel expenses and whatever. So, but look, it can be done and the horses are there. I just hope more people would try. I wish more people would try.
I love the quote from the owner sitting in the bar in Dubai. For those who haven't seen it, as Frank referenced, a couple of the owners were in Dubai in the pub, which looked fantastic, I must say. In the pub, enjoying a few drinks with friends, hugging and everything. Oh. And they were talking about how they had a few quid and they said to Shark Hanlon, they said, yeah, look, we've got probably about 10 grand. So he recommended that he'd go to buy her. And they said, grand, off you go. He looked up the sales price. He saw £600. This is the owner. So he assumed, must have been a typo. They must have got it for 6,000. That's grand. That'll do. And then, 600 quid.
I think what made that story even better was the fact that Shark came out the day before and said she was an absolute certainty.
It's a certainty.
That's what made it. I'm correct in saying that was his first Grade One, wasn't it?
Oh,
yeah, it was,
been.
Yeah.
Must
so, like, for a fella who'd never trained the Grade One winner to come out and say, this is a certainty. And then for her to win. I think there's very few things are better than that. That's unbelievable. But
there's putting your neck on the line. What's the famous line in Pat Short, is it? He's balls like a Bengali tiger. I tell you what, that's what you taught me. Saw the Shark saying that.
Oh, but you know, he was opening himself up for absolute abuse if she got beaten, you know, but no, she goes and wins. Fair play to him. Like, it's refreshing, to be honest. I think it's refreshing.
I thought the same.
Great weekend. Brilliant weekend. And boy, have we got another one coming. It is Aintree. It starts, of course, on Thursday. But for the next less than 30 minutes, we're going to talk about the big one, the Aintree Grand National. We're a few days out now, so I think we've got a fair idea on the field. But no better man than Ruby Walsh to talk to, and Frank Kickey, of course, because Ruby Walsh, 14 times you rode in the race, and you managed to finish how many?
Shocker, when he pulled up, something fell at Valentine's. Fell off Ballycasey to Canal Thorn. On his own, fell at Valentine's. I say I finished the rest of them.
10 times you finished from 14. That's probably a pretty decent strike.
What else did I not finish on?
I haven't a clue. I'm just reading the script.
Jesus. On his own, fell off Ballycasey.
You got back on Papillon. You got back on Papillon. Yeah, he finished both times.
I pulled up shotgun Willie. Geez, I can't remember.
So you reckon it's 11 finishes from 10?
No, that. I'm not going to contradict your script.
Well, look, those who research can come out. I'm told you finished 10 of 14, which probably is a ridiculously good strike rate anyway to finish in terms of, even for those who probably rode it three times, it's almost as good as theirs. Let's talk about Papillon. And you've talked numerous times about winning it in the year 2000, what it meant to you. But what was the lead up to the race like? Because your dad's horse, had you ridden Aintree Fences at that stage?
I'd ridden in the Fox Hunters. I'd ridden Minister for Fun for John Joe, no, Edward O'Grady, a couple of years before as an amateur. But look, a year before, I remember sitting on a table in the press room in Wexford with Barry Geraghty, watching Paul Carberry win the 99 Grand National and Bobby Joe. We were both riding in Wexford the same day. And like the disbelief. I remember I went home, Barry went to Dublin Port and went to Liverpool to come home with the lads on the boat for the crack. But it was incredible. The build up for Papillon, I had a broken leg, I was out for most of the year, got back, rode him in Leopardstown in a hurdle race, he ran okay. Had a pretty ordinary Cheltenham. Don't even think I weighed in, let alone was placed on one. And then went to Aintree, and I had been champion jockey the year before, but like anything, out of sight, out of mind. Was just, things were going. The only ride I had at Aintree was Papillon. Like, not at my first ride in the Grand National. It was the only ride I had at the whole meet was Papillon. And rocked out to ride him from the old Wareham, watching BBC for the day. Grandstand was on in the background. And going out to ride Papillon, who tumbled from 30 trees down to God only knows what price.
Was he put
up by Pricewise that morning, yeah.
Okay.
And he was backed off the boards. And I can remember the race. And there's certain things in your life you can remember blow by blow for. And it's not from watching videos. That's one of those occasions I can just remember. I can remember going through the tape and Jason Titley on my inside, Paul Carberry was next to him, going to the first fence. I can remember looking over at Peter Niven, going to about the fifth fence on the second circuit. He arrived up in Hollybank Buck. I can remember the loose horses coming back down the track towards us. We were crossing the Melling Road. David Casey was beside me in Lucky Town. I'm wondering, would we get to the cutoff on the inside of the mile med before the loose horses got to us? They were coming at us. And then Norm Williamson arriving on Melly Moss, getting to the elbow, thinking, I'm going to win the National, and he stalls, and Melly Moss ahead appearing on my inside, and then starting to run again as he was passing the water, and thinking, I'm going to win the Grand National. And the disbelief of it, like, and crossing the line thinking, has that just happened? You just couldn't. Like, I grew up, but when I was growing up, Irish horses, they kind of went to Aintree. They didn't win. They weren't competitive. Bobby Joe had won it. You dreamt of riding in a Grand National, winning it. I'd never had that dream. I'd never, even riding a pony as a kid, I rode in Grand Nationals, but I never rode the winner. You never actually won the race. You fell at the chair, you fell at Beechers, or you pulled up, but you never actually. I never dreamt about winning it. I couldn't believe it. And it was 48 or 72 hours of my life that I would love to have back again. It was just incredible.
Well, you nearly did the next year, I guess, when Papillon went back. And what a bizarre Grand National. Unshipping it the 19th, I think it was. And it was, you mentioned there, the loose horses the previous year, nearly. It was the loose horse that year that took you out, wasn't it?
Yeah, a loose horse in the ditch. I remember going to it, and AP was well outside me and blowing wind. And another horse got him. And I remember going to the ditch thinking, will I go left or will I go right? The loose horse was stood in the drain. We were standing inside in the brook in front of the fence.
Oh my God.
And when I went right, he turned right. And I remember trying to get further away from, could I get to the jump before I got to the horse? But I didn't. And Papillon jammed on and fired me into the fence. And I remember standing up then and getting out of the drain. And AP was standing there and Andrew Thornton. And there was only three left in the race. Bo, Red Marauder and Smarty. And you were standing down at the third fence. There was no one around. It was lashing rain. And we were looking, trying to catch the commentary. And next minute we heard that Carla Welland had come off Bo. I think Bo was the horse that came off. And I said to AP, here, so what if the other two don't get around? So we ran back up and there was a bunch of horses standing at the back of the second fence. We'd fallen off of the third. So we ran all the way up to the second fence. And I recognized Papillon. But he's looking for Blowing Wind and he's looking at the number cloths. And Blowing Wind was written on it. Number 23 was 23, Blowing Wind. So he caught him and I got Bo. And we headed on together. But like Blowing Wind was galloping over Papillon then for the rest of the race. And AP kind of waited on me to make sure Papillon wouldn't refuse or something. But we headed off in case the other two didn't complete. And that was the only reason we headed on. It wasn't to finish third and fourth. We headed on thinking, well, 38 of us are gone at this stage. What's to say the last two won't go as well? So, but that was different.
Could you imagine the old in-play betting? It was around back then. There would have been some carnage in that race. In terms of, you mentioned that AP was looking for the saddle cloth of Blowing Wind. Do you not think he would have recognised him without it?
Sure, there was seven or eight loose horses.
It's that many? Wow.
Yeah, there was horses everywhere. Like, there was a bunch of them standing at the back of the second fence. Now, I knew Papillon because they'd won a Grand National on him, but he was looking and Blowing Wind was, I'd won a mile mare fleet on him, but he was just a plain bay horse. Like, he was just wondering, which one is he? Like, you know what I mean?
Would have been some crack if one of you got on the wrong one and actually won it. I got on a different one.
Imagine the
rule book.
Could you imagine the accusations? Oh, they knew.
That would have been some crack. Frank, there's some brilliant memories there from Ruby, but obviously our memories, myself and yourself, are mainly watching it. What's your earliest memory of the Grand National, Frank?
Bobby Joe winning, I'd say. No, would it be? Yeah, probably Bobby Joe. Like, and I wasn't from a family that was mad into racing, but I kind of got into it. And I can definitely remember sitting down with my brothers and kind of going, here's your two, and here's my two, and there's your two. And, you know, Bobby Joe wasn't a mile. I might put a pound in or something, like, you know. But I remember Bobby Joe winning. But, like, that's probably my first memory. Yeah, I remember that. I remember being in the Western Star watching when... what was Jimmy Mangan's horse that won?
Monty's Pass. Not a big gamble.
I remember, this is a sickener. Like, you know, I would have been betting very small at the time, but I remember back in Can Royale and Lord Atterbury, the year it looked like they had it between them, jumping two out, and Amberley House came.
Miles back.
Oh, I think I was to win about 120 quid or something, which at the time would have been a huge amount, you know, to win.
New Scalextrics. You get a brand new Scalextrics for that one.
I was more like maybe two nights out or something. But next thing Amberley House comes and does the two of them. Lord Atterbury was 40-1 and I think Clan Ryan was about 14-1. And that was the thing. But it's a race, like it is my favourite race of the year. I just love it. Like I think it's brilliant. And it's just trying to figure it out, like, you know, normally you'd probably have three or four darts at it and hope that at least one of them hits the frame.
I think that's fair. In terms of working for the Grand National, we talked about you working during Cheltenham and how it can be a bit of it can go by in a flash and it's not super enjoyable because it's, you don't get to really take it in. Is Grand National Day something similar in the trading room?
Not as bad. Obviously, Tiger Olds win the first time round. There was a video going round work of Joe Lee came down, took a video of the trading room during the National that year. And if you listen back to Dermot McLaughlin's cousin, he got very high-pitched there. And so did I when Pleasant Company nearly got back up because the swing was massive. We'd been under Pleasant Company. And I'd also had a good bet of 50-1 as well. So when he started coming back up, I let this screech out of me. And next thing, it just went dead quiet again. But that video was worth watching. That noise that came out of me was embarrassing.
I was actually working for ITV. That year I was injured and I was on the inside of the track and in the van they have is parked on the inside and I was watching it live and they came by me. I was full sure he'd get there. The speed he was going compared to Tiger Roll, I was thinking he'll get there.
I thought,
and like, what was it? I think he was like millimeters.
People probably forget how close that was, you know. But
really close at the end. Like, is it another stride or two? He was there, like
half stride. Yeah. I think it was. Oh, and I think that I saw a Davey Russell interview. I can't remember which one. And I think it might have been the Betfair one. And he's just like, I could hear it coming. And I'm not getting there. And geez, it was so close. That and the Sunny Hill Boy and Neptune Collange finish as well.
Yeah, I think the one that resonates the most with me, though, is Rule the World. And look, obviously, this is unbelievable after timing, but I did back him. But I bought the Mrs. Engagement Ring off the back of Rule the World winning the National. So, what? That's...
Did you get the horse engraved in diamond studs on the ring?
No, I didn't.
Horseshoe shaped ring, at least? No?
No, jeez.
You backed Rule the World, bought a ring and gave it to a woman who now rules your world.
Exactly, yeah. She's the boss of me. But so I had no input in the ring, PK. She went to some guy to get it designed and I just had to fork out the cash for it. It was a very romantic proposal.
Go on then. You can't leave a thing about how was the proposal.
I just asked her, would she commit to making my dinners for the rest of her life?
Are you joking me? You did not say that, did you?
She knows my sense of humour. Yeah.
Oh my God, Frank.
And she does, to be fair, she's a great cook and she does make my dinners. But that was the joke, like, for them, because I wouldn't do any of the romantic stuff. It's not me at all. But
she said yes to that.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Come here, I'd say fair play to the guy before, because he set the bar very low. the guy before me, I mean.
clearly. I mean, if I was her, I obviously would have said no, but, you know, try again. Try again. Next.
It was a joke. It was a joke, and she knows my sense of humor. It's bordering on the dark side. Yeah.
Clearly. Right. Let's talk about the other Grand National win for you, Ruby, Hedge Hunter. 14 lengths he won. Won the Bobby Joe Chase and sent off favourite. I assume you fancied him.
Yeah, I did fancy him. And Clan Royal was the big danger as well. And he got taken out at Beecher's Brook by the loose horses on the takeoff side. And the last two strides to Beecher's Brook were pretty scary. And I thought Hedge Hunter was going to follow him into the corner and had lost all momentum on the approach. And it feels like he's really come to a standstill, even though he haven't quite got that slow. But I remember thinking the last two strides, Jesus, have we enough speed to get the height here? And up and over and down he got. But he absolutely bolted in. He was doing it half speed from the canal turn.
Would you have caught AP? It's so far out. And he was so far clear. I remember watching it because it was a big, not kerfuffle, there was a lot of talk about AP hasn't won the National, you know, and this was his chance, wasn't it? Was it sent off favourite in the end?
Yeah, but like, all I wanted was a lead. I mean, Hedge Hunter had pulled too hard and gone too fast the year before. So I was only looking for a lead. I was looking for a target. And I was happy out thinking, well, there's one there 10 lengths in front of me. I just keep following away. And, you know, I have a mile and a quarter to make that up. And all of a sudden, it's gone. And I'm left in front thinking, like, this wasn't even plan Z to be in front of Beecher's Brook. Here I am in front. And, you know, you can have to ad-lib it then, lads.
I imagine Grand National does present those sort of things. It rarely goes as well to plan as maybe Papillon went, I guess.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Let's talk about this year. I suppose a lot of people listening in looking for a nice little summation on the runners. And Ruby, I'll start with you, because Burrow Saint... he was on course for the race last year. It seems like he was laid out for the race, but obviously it didn't happen. Is he in as good a form this year as perhaps you might have thought he was last year?
I think he's pretty similar. I mean, he hasn't won a race since he won the Irish National in 2019. We're very happy with him. He's improved a good bit since he's running a Bobby Joe and he was second to Acapella Bourgeois. I think the big thing with him, PK, is the ground. He's a much better horse than good ground. He's been racing through the winter on heavy ground. His first run behind Mary Frances was pretty poor. He ran ordinary in a hurdle race in Goran Park. He was a lot better in the Bobby Joe, though he did hang right on real testing ground. But I think on dry ground, he's a different horse. And his style of jumping is ideal for the race. He's an ex-French chaser. He's very low, very accurate. He's a strong traveller. He's won over 3.5. He'll hopefully get the extra couple of furlongs. I think he's a lot of things going for him, yeah.
Sounds like
13 is the right side of 11 stone in my mind as well.
He won the Irish National off 144. Let's get ratings chat. He's 156. Is that doable in your eyes?
Yeah, I'd say it's a hefty enough penalty for the margin he won, but I don't know, is he a horse that's ever going to win a race too far? I think the manner with which he travelled through the Irish National tells you more about him than anything else. He beat Robin DeFore prior to that in Limerick in a novice chase. Look, I'm sure people might be questioning his form. Acapella Bourgeois was third in that National, and he's probably a good bit better off with him now for the defeat that day. But I just think he ticks a lot of the right boxes. He's a strong traveller. He's a low accurate jumper. I think he's what's required, and he's had three runs this year, which you also need to have had in the season to win an English National.
Lots of positives for Burroughs Saint. Frank, let's talk the favourite, because he's been strong ever since winning that. Well, ever since Tyrol came out, and then he won the Kelso chase as well. He's been very short, in inverted commas, for a race like this. But he's a stone well in, is he?
I suppose his price is based on that. He's a stone well in. But I think what would happen with his price between now and Saturday will be determined by those people analysed who think, is he actually a stone well in? I don't think he is, to be honest. I think, he's not that. He's only nine. He's had 11 chase starts. It's not like, he's massively exposed. He's had four wins, a second and four thirds from those runs. But then you only have to go back to three starts to go at Cheltenham. He was beaten behind Frodon off America of 136. Like, now you're saying he's 162 horse? And it wasn't like he'd had one go or two goes at handicaps in the 130s. He'd had seven or eight tries in races in the 130s. Like, he was placed in Scottish National off, I think, 134. He'd been beaten in a Kim Muir the year before off 136 or 7. Obviously, his improvement has coincided with the switch of tactics and going to front running. And he was very impressive with the Ladbrokes Trophy. And he was very impressive at Kelso. But I think, he did get £12 for winning the Ladbrokes Trophy to go up to 148. And that was a fair rise. And I think there's a lot of, you could pull apart that race in Kelso. Like, for starters, I don't think ASO gets the trip properly. At two for gold, he did win a grade two as a novice over 3 miles, but I think he beat a horse that was a bit of a non-stayer that day in Hold the Note. And he seemed to improve for dropping back in trip a little bit this year. And then you had Lakeview Lad and Definitely Red, who were badly out of form. And you just have to say, was he beating horses who were brilliantly in form or anything? No. I think a lot of people would have thought that race was already being used as a prep to tune him up for the National. I just don't think he's a 160 horse, personally. And therefore, I don't think his price is a true reflection of his chance of winning. And I can only see him drifting between now and Saturday.
Okay. Right. Let's go back to Ruby and get your thoughts on your dad's horse any second now. What do you make of his profile, Ruby? Because I had a quick look at his form prior to this, and I know I think he's had 5 wins and 4 of them at 2 miles. Doesn't scream National. I know the other win, though, was 3 1/4.
Yeah. I think that's more to do with the greater race he was running in PK. I think when you get away from the grade one 2 mile chasers in Ireland, the standard is not massively strong at grade two and grade three level. And he has the pace to win those races. I do think his better form is on slower ground, though. I'm not sure he handled the real heavy in the Tyres days, but I do think he likes to get his toe into the ground. He was good in Navan when he won the Webster Cup. He was very good in the Kim Muir when Derek O'Connor rode him over 3 1/4 miles. I don't see stamina being an issue for him. I think he's a real nice weight, 10 stone 9. He's a 9-year-old. I say he's in really good form. He would just like a drop of rain. That'd be my only worry for him.
The 2 mile trip was something that your dad did with Seabass, and obviously Seabass ran fifth, was it? Was it fifth after he ran the two
first,
mile?
Wasn't
it? He was third. Third, my apologies. Yeah, so he placed. So is it something that your dad likes to do, or is it just kind of the way the pattern runs, I suppose?
He did. I mean, in Comanche, got beaten the Gold Cup. His prep run was over 2 miles as well, Comanche Court. Comanche Court won the Irish National coming off the back of running in the Arkle. Dad always does like to run him short before he goes long, to put a bit of speed into them, to get them in a position where they're able to travel and make them an easier ride for the jockeys riding them.
He was nearly favourite race last year, much like Burroughs Saint we were talking about earlier. But his age of 9 is actually probably a positive. I think 9-year-olds won 2 of the last 4.
I think they have. I think it's a good age for it. Looks to be anyway.
Okay. Right, Frank, back to you. Let's talk about some of the Irish horses towards the top of the betting. Manila Times has been a big market mover. Disco Ram and Storyteller. What do you make of that trio?
Manila Times, I think you can attribute the move down to one thing only, Rachel Blackmore. Just have to give Ruby credit. The interview with Rachel was absolutely
outstanding.
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, I thought it was
excellent.
Thank you very much. She's just a class act, isn't she? She's just like, she's a brilliant jockey, but she, like, I don't know her at all, but she comes across as just a terrific person as well, like, which is excellent to see. But this Manila Times, you can kind of see as well with the horse, it has a profile of a horse that is improving, but it is definitely down to Rachel Blackmore. People are looking going, Rachel Blackmore's going to ride this. This is going to collapse the price I want to be on. He's only 8. He's had 10 chase starts. Look, he didn't put up any trees over hurdles, and it took him a while to get off the mark over fences. He didn't win till he went handicapping, one off a mark of 122. But this season, he's been relatively consistent. He was second to Paddy Power Chase at Christmas in his first start at 3 miles off a mark of 136. He'd won at the Stowell off 130 over 2 miles, 6 prior to that. And he was just touched off by Off You Go in the Dublin Race Festival, dropped back to 2 mile 5. Off You Go ran quite well in the Irish National yesterday. I think he finished 6th, did he? Yeah. So, you know, the form is all right. And the race behind Off You Go, when you look at how that race has worked out, it's worked out unbelievably well. Like, the third that day, Live, Love, Laugh was just touched off to a good handicap at Matuka next time. The fourth, Farclaw, was second in the Paddy Power Plate. The fifth, Scoremar, won the Leinster National. The sixth, Gooseman, won his next start at Down Royal. 7, Ishkabaha, won 2 starts later. The 11th, Bapalm, won over hurdles next time, albeit a sharp price. And even the 12th, Mythbuster, won a beginner's chase. So it's a really good handicap. But the one question we'll have is stamina. He hasn't had that many goals beyond, you know, beyond 2 miles 5, 2 miles 6, bar that Paddy Power chase. And there's a big difference between 3 miles and 4.25 miles. I don't know what Ruby thinks about it, but it would definitely be nickeling away at me that stamina might just catch this one out.
Yeah, look, it's a question mark for a lot of horses, Frank, and you don't know until they try. But he's by Oscar out of an Anshan mare. He'd be happy enough if there's enough stamina in the pedigree to suggest he could get it. But that's only a suggestion too. I would most certainly think it's worth a try. And I thought he kept going well in the Paddy Power. And I thought at the last fence in the Leopardstown Chase, Farclaw had the beating of him. Yet he outstayed Farclaw. I think, and even if you watch the win in the Stowell over 2.6, Beyond the Law was going clear. He wanted every yard of the 2.6 to get up to beat Beyond the Law. So, to me, he looks like a horse that to win again off this mark, it's going to be improvement brought about and going up in trip that he's going to require, I think. If he doesn't stay, he's goosed.
They're all good, so they don't stay or jump as well. Other horses, what about the angle of beating in the race before coming back to try and win it at the second or third time? Is that a negative or a positive? Because if they got round, let's say, in third or fourth or fifth or sixth, they know they can get round. Or is it basically you've shot your bolt, so to speak, and maybe you've shown your hand?
Two different views, I'd say here. Frank will give it here from a statistical one. I'll give it here from a riding point of view. Prior to the changes, I was slow enough to. I always wanted. Hedgehunter was different because he was a pure national horse, but I used to prefer horses who hadn't been there. And then when they changed the fences and made them that bit softer, horses have a bit of experience there now. So going back, I think now they have a better chance than they used to have. That's only my feeling on it. Frank, take it away.
I don't have the record to hand, but I think it's very much changed towards horses who had no experience of the fences actually winning more often than those that had. In recent years, but I have no strong opinion. Like, obviously, you have Hedgehunter came back after, you know, being unlucky the year before. But like, yeah, I'd probably be more inclined to maybe go at one that hasn't been over him yet,
with the hope that they haven't shown their hand and they've got a few pounds in hand.
Well, you see, I suppose if you're looking at it, are people going to, you know, even from a betting point of view, if there's a horse been to the fences and run really well. We say we use Kimberley Candy as an example. The market's going to find them. Do you know they're going to latch on? You're not really going to get, you know, too much juice out of the price. Well, like, if you're looking at something, there's always that nickel, will they take to the fences? As Ruby said, it's not the same test of jumping as it was 20 years ago. And you think most of them will take to it. I would think, but...
Yeah. Seems to be less and less horses that seem to really hate it. There's a few obvious examples. You can see them beating after two fences.
Annie
yeah,
Optic you can see. Yeah, just hates it. You can see he hates it. But
let's talk about Secret Reprieve. Will he get in, Frank? There's a question. Will he get in?
Number 43 on the list. Will he get in? I would think 43. He should. But then again, if I say he's going to get in, the way I think, he's actually nailed on that. If I back him now.
Yeah, Mr. Rucker's been on. Mr. Rucker's been on and told me if you back him, you're a dead man, essentially.
Yeah, I think he'll sneak in. Look, he's a difficult one to weigh up. He's only 7, very inexperienced, only had 6 chase starts, 3 in handicaps. Obviously, Fela Hela, conjoined favourite, bolted up in the Welsh National Trial. And look, he was well in for the Welsh National itself, but he won very nicely again there. Been kept back for this. He's very difficult to know, you know, what the ceiling of his ability is. My instinct would be, leave him alone. He could be still £10 ahead of the handicapper.
Tough on Adam Wedge, isn't it? Who's going to miss that ride with injury?
Yeah, it used to be my, you know, first port of call when analysing the National, find that Evan Williams, Paul Maloney horse, and just back that each way because you knew
in those colours. Yeah.
He was just going to get it around to finish in the places at least.
What was the one that got finished placed in about 3 Nationals?
There was Alvarado. And Capablo placed in 2, State of Play placed. Brilliant. He had 3 of them there in about 6 years old.
That is some record. Ruby Acabella-Bourgeois beat Burrow Saint in the Bobby Joe. He's £7 better off.
I don't know, sorry PK, if this means anything or not, lads. But looking down through the declarations this morning, and I noticed that Keith Donoghue is on the Storyteller, Jack Kennedy is on Farclaw, Jody McGarvey is on Alpha de Zobo, but there's 2 Jigginstown horses in there in the weights that aren't chalked up, Milan Native and Shattered Love. And you kind of wonder, well, did they chalk up the ones that are running? Are those 2 going to run the other 2? Is that 2 of the 3 that Secret Approval need to come out to get in? Just wonder, am I reading, putting 2 and 2 together and getting 6? But here, when creating sum anyway.
You would have thought, whatever about Shatter Love, that Milan Native would have been relatively high up the list. I know he ran disappointingly in the Ultima, but to not see him chalked up. Yeah,
I just kind of thought, that was looking at the other arrangements. Like, when you see Daryl is on Bristol Lamai, I know Tony Martin is looking for someone for Annabelle Fly, so he'll run. Willie's running his floor. I know Robert Power rides Magic of Light. Brian Cooper rides Discorama. Mark Walsh, I think, is going to ride any second now, I think. You know, so you can start putting jockeys to horses. By all, I think Mr. Malarkey runs. Brian, he rides Yala Inky. Balco de Flo was bought to run in the race. Chris's Dream. Will he run or not? He could be one. Maybe they mightn't. Double Shuffle is Jonathan Burke. All of a sudden, there are not that many obvious ones to get the 3 out for Secret Reprise when you start rooting down through them and looking at them. But, you know, the long mile, Jody McGarvey is riding.
I think he's on one of the Jigginstown, isn't he?
He's on Alpha de Zobo.
Yeah.
You'd wonder, would he have been on the JP McManus 3rd or 4th string? Kind of thought he would have been. Maybe the long mile isn't gone. Anyway, look, it'd be interesting. Yep. We'll find out later in the week. As you said, Acapella-Bourgeois is 11. I think no crowd would be a huge factor for him.
Okay.
In whether he'll run or not. Not whether he'll run or not. Be a huge factor for him because he is quite hot. You remember him creating a few false starts at the RSA in Cheltenham 1 year. And I think an empty entry will definitely benefit his cause. He jumps, he stays, he ran really well in the Irish National. He's been in good form this year, chased home Album Photo in Tremor, was 5th in the Tyesses, and he pulled out quick and then won the Bobby Joe. Look, I'd say he's probably overpriced a little bit at 25-1.
Okay. All right. I think it's decision time, folks. There's loads more horses we could talk about, but let's get the chopping block out and put your heads on it. Frank, I'll come to you first. I know in podcasts over the last couple of weeks, you've mentioned how Paul Nolan has been someone you want to be on the right side of in the last couple of weeks. Not a bad run by Latest Exhibition on Monday. Your thoughts, though, on Aintree?
And this exhibition ran perfectly well because he was off top weight, finishing 4th with it. Look, I've been banging out with Discorama for a couple of weeks, and mainly because of the price initially. Like, he was priced, like, I was comparing his price to him in Manila Times. Manila Times was 14-1, and Discorama was as big as 40-1. And I was like, there shouldn't be that sort of discrepancy between the 2 horses. Now they're starting to come more close together in price. And I think, like, having my notes here reminds me of Rule of the World a little bit. I hope he goes all the way in.
Another ring.
He reminds me.
Ring.
Do you get a divorce ring, do you?
Jesus, Frank. It's going that well, is it?
Yeah, she's like, if I don't get back to the office soon, I'm in big trouble. But, like, he's been 2nd, 7 times, 13 chase starts. So Rule of the World was obviously a made over fence before winning. But he has done really solid form. Like, he was placing a grade one as a novice hurdler. He had proven stamina when finishing at, or sorry, this is Rule the World. He had finished second in an Irish National. He had proved he had a bit of class. And I think this Graham is similar. He's had 10 chase starts. He's a win in 4 seconds and a third. He was going to go close at Nace in that 3 mile grade three, I think, with that Ballyward one when he tipped up at the last. Like, you know, it was in the balance whether he would have won or not. Ran an absolute corker, went second to Lefroy in probably the most stamina-sapping National Hunt chase in a long time. There was only 4 finishes that day. He was beaten a neck. And he was second in his next start. Then a punch down when he was 12 lengths behind Delta Work in the grade one. And Absolute Tire was back in third. So he does have that bit of a class angle. And then if you go back to last year, he was placed in the Ultima, beaten 2 3/4 lengths. And that was a decent enough renewal. You'd also be conditional winning Vindication fourth. And just this year, if you take out the last run at Cheltenham, when Nolan's horses weren't firing, he's had a wind up as well since. Like, he went to Galway prior to that and conceded 4 pounds with a native over 2 miles 6 and was beaten the neck. Like, that trip would be an absolute bare minimum for him. I think he's crying out for this sort of a trip. As I said, I just have a stat here on the Nolan horses from September through to the end of February. He had 3 winners with 166 runners in that time, if my calculations are correct.
Thank you for that one.
Yeah, but since the start of March through to yesterday, he's had 5 winners, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and 4 fourths from 41 runners. So there's a massive upturn in his form. And obviously the Cheltenham winner, Mrs. Miller, as I said, Disc Rams had the wind up. Stamina's no issue for him, I think. Look, his price is coming into where it should be. I think, like, I could see him going off 14-1, sort of price 12-14-1 on the day. But I think he's got a massive chance. He ticks a lot of the boxes.
Lovely. Lovely. Disco time for Frank Ruby. Obviously, I'm going to ask you, you can give us 2. You can give us your fancy and the best of the William Mullins quartet. It may be the same horse.
What I fancy and what I hope wins are probably 2 different things. I probably fancy Borough Saint. I really hope any second now wins. I'd love to see my dad shine another Grand National winner. And look, it's the Grand National. Everyone wants one at a price. And I think one that could be overlooked for a couple of reasons is Class Conti. I think he was 3rd in the Testes, 4th in the Leinster National. I think better ground will suit him a bit. He's ex-French, so he jumps low and accurate. He only has 10-6 on his back. He's a 9-year-old. He's sure to stay. I think at 40-1. You're playing 4-6, Frankie?
4-6, yeah. Quarter
the odds. 10-1 to be in the 6.
It's a 50 odds, Ruby. It's 50 really? Odds. That's the catch.
Why is it a 50 odds? There's no catch.
There's no catch.
50 odds for paying extra places.
That's some lot of rubbish.
We're not like it's 4 places is the standard. So 4-4.
There's 40 runners.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Frank.
So it's 8-1 to be in the 6.
Yeah.
8-1 to be in the 6.
So miserable gits.
So, Class Conti, Borough Saint for Willie Mullins, and Disco Ram, Disco Time for Frank Kiki.
Can I give one as a price?
Frank, you have 30 seconds.
Talk is cheap, Alan King. Oh. Look, he's really going to appreciate the good ground. He was brilliant in the 2019.
Canelo's the Alan King one each way, surely.
Talk is cheap is the one I like. I don't think Canelo gets the trip.
Why are we talking about British trained horses?
I just think there's one here, but he's a massive price. He's 66-1, 50-1. He could be bloody 100-1 come the weekend. I just think there's a chance with the forecast and the ground likes to be on the better side that he could hit the frame at a massive price. The day he won that, what used to be the Whitbread, he jumped the last.
God, they will never call that race anything but what used to be the Whitbread.
Love that race. But he was about a length up at the Old Master jumping the last, and he put 9 lengths between the two of them on the way to the line. At the end of 3 miles 5, I thought it was unbelievable. And look, he's been not great since, but I have a feeling his whole season last year was geared towards the National. Obviously, it was cancelled. This year, he ran in a flat maiden at Southern, a jumper's bumper at Linkfield, and then was terrible at Kenton. I'm not sure about Kenton. He ran really poorly. Well, not really, not as poorly, but poorly enough at Kenton prior to bolting up at Sandown. So I kind of maybe not take that as full face value. But as long as the ground stays dry, I think he can sneak a place, maybe at a huge price.
Okay, we got Class Conti and Borough Saint for Ruby, although his heart very much with any second now. And Frank Hickey giving us two there in the shape of Discorama, bit of disco time, and Talk Is Cheap. Thank you very much, Ruby and Frank, for an extended look ahead to the Grand National this coming weekend. Do stay tuned, folks. Continue to subscribe to the pod because we're going to have a Aintree Day 1, Day 2, Day 3 tipping pod for you in each of the 3 days. So stay with us. Until then, best luck at Aintree. Thank you, Ruby. Thank you, Frank.